Those who of you who have been around for the last bunch of weeks, we've been doing a series looking at Noah and the Ark. And Ark building in the 21st century is really about how we prepare our hearts for Jesus' return. Let me let you in on a little secret. If you don't know it already, Jesus is coming back. And He's coming back soon. And I believe the signs are here. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that it'll be like the days of Noah. And so we've been looking at Noah's story to find out kind of what his days were like so that we can kind of see the connection between Noah's days and our days. And today I want to do a little sermon called The God of New Beginnings. Sound familiar? Only we don't have an S on our church name, but he is a God of new beginnings. He does a lot of new beginning in our life, doesn't he? And His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. And He comes and does a new thing in us. New things are not bad. And old things are not bad. Traditions are not bad. And doing it differently is not bad. We just need to do what Jesus says. Amen? And we need to find out why we're doing what we're doing. Because you know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out of it. You don't want to get into ruts because ruts will never get you where you want to be. But I tell you what, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of things God has been doing for a very long time that He's still doing. And there's some new things that God is doing that are just as genuine and as real as the things He's been doing for a long, long time. And so the goal of every believer is to let God do a new, fresh work in our lives every day. And as He does that, and as He does His work, there will be great changes in our lives and we'll become prepared for His return. Jesus is coming very, very soon. So as we come to kind of the end of this series, depending on how the Lord leads today, it's important for us to see how the flood began to wash away this incredible level of sin that was in the earth. The earth was utterly evil, the Bible says. Utterly evil. God's heart was broken. If you read the story of Noah, His heart was broken that the people had become so desperately sinful. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. By the way, are rocket scientists really smart? Because I don't know what that saying really means, but we say it every once in a while. They know smart about rockets, aren't they? But the truth is that you don't have to be real, real smart to recognize that we're living in a day that's utterly evil. And the very imaginations of men are beginning to be acted out day in and day out in our world. There were things that we are seeing in our daily newspaper that just some years ago, not very long ago, you would have seen in a movie but would have never dreamed it would happen in your backyard. There's not a week hardly that ever goes by, and sometimes not even a couple of days goes by, without another story of some stepdad, dad, mom, or somebody who's killed their baby. Just this week, in our state, down close to Tulsa, there was a young girl who had a baby and put it in a dumpster. Fortunately, somebody found the little baby, and the baby was saved. Now the mom's in jail. They don't know who the dad is, at least the last I read yesterday in the paper. And in my mind, in my lifetime, I would have never dreamed of some woman having a baby and going and throwing it in a dumpster. But it happens almost weekly or at least monthly in our world today. We have laws, actually, that they could have taken the baby to a hospital, no questions asked, and left the baby there. But there's a mismanagement of what life is about in our world, what the value of life is about. Just last week, a man killed an abortion doctor, a doctor who does late-term abortions, one of the few in our country who still does late-term abortions, and he's dead now. Now, am I against abortion? You better believe it, but I'm not for killing people. And in the quest to make things right, we don't wrong to make it right. But our world has that kind of dichotomy in its thinking, and there's things that are happening almost daily in our world and in our country that, just as I said a few years ago, we might have seen in a horror movie, but it's becoming a reality. And I believe that the days in which we live right now, Jesus is either going to have to come back really soon, or he's going to have to look back at Noah's day and say, I'm not sure it's as bad as I thought it was. Because I believe our world today is becoming utterly evil. I mean, maybe you're not a news watcher. Let's just take a little survey. How many of you watch the news on TV? Okay. How many of you read are newspaper people? You like to read the newspaper, okay, a couple? Two or three? How many of you get all your news off the internet? Okay? And we know everything that's on the internet is absolutely 100% true, right? Everything in print is just true. And if that reporter says it, it's got to be true. How many of you know that the media today, whether it's internet, TV, newspapers, or whatever, is only going to give you what they want you to hear? And so because of that, we're not really getting the message. Sometimes we get really mad at our president because we think he's really doing us wrong. And the truth is I think there's some things he is doing wrong. But here's the thing. We don't even know half of what's really going on. And so we make a decision based upon what the media has given us, and they're not giving us all the truth. So what we must do, if we're ever going to experience God's provision and we're going to experience His graciousness in our life, we have to get to something a little more substantial. It's called the Bible. And I would not recommend to anyone to read your newspaper, watch your internet news, or the news on your television without having your Bible close at hand. Because this is the truth that will be eternal. Everything else is going to pass away. But God said, my words will never pass away. So to really experience the God of a new beginning, to really experience the redemption that God has for us, we must recognize that in the midst of a day when news is going on everywhere and most of it's negative, there's some good news to be heard. Let me say that again because I only got one amen out of that. And I'm really into interactive church. In a day when there's a lot of bad news, I want you to know today there's some good news. The good news is that Jesus has given us full redemption and the possibilities of walking in a new beginning with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He that knew no sin became sin. He became all of your sin and mine. And He became nailed to the cross, and every sin you've ever committed was nailed to that cross 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, that sacrifice was more than enough to pay for whatever you've done. The Spirit of the Lord is here today, and He's been speaking to me since we started singing, that there's some people here today in this building. I don't do this often, so you know this is kind of, it has to be God for me to do it, because it's not my style. But I believe there's some people here today who are particularly dealing with depression. And I want you to know that Jesus has come to lift your spirit. I don't know who you are, But I'm going to tell you, if you're dealing with depression today, Jesus wants to lift you up and give you hope. If you're feeling down in the dumps, if you're feeling at the bottom of the pit, there's good news. Go ahead and lay down and look up, because your redemption is near you. Jesus is coming to give you a new beginning today. And so if that's you, in just a little bit, you'll have an opportunity to respond to that word. He that knew no sin became your sin and mine, so that we could become right with God. See, there's no other way to be right with God. You can't do it. You can't live good enough. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't be a parent good enough. You can't be a kid good enough. There's only one way to get right with God, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ and His work at the cross. And many people walk around and they say, well, I can't even remember when I gave my heart to Jesus. I've just always known Him. Let me tell you, if that's you, it's time to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ. Because you can't live on your parents' faith. You can't live on a mentality alone. You can't live on a mindset alone. There's a point in which every single human being, if they want to go to heaven, must get on their knees, or however you want to do it, and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I'm choosing You today. Every person must do that. You don't get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come to the Father but by Me. And so the way we get to the Father is by personally making a decision to accept Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Ron, you know, you're talking to the church here. I mean, you know, we're all Christians, are we? Some years ago, I went and spoke at a church in, Dan will get a kick out of this. I went and spoke at a little church in Wichita Falls, Texas. I was on my way to a camp, and they asked me if I'd stop by on a Sunday night and preach in their church. So they packed into this little building, and I preached, and I preached the message God had given me, and I wasn't quite sure why God had given me the message. It was basically the gospel. I mean, that's what it was. It's kind of like what I'm talking about today. I have all kinds of stuff in my notes I'm not even going to get to today, because quite frankly, I need to deal with this. And so I preached this message, and I did my best, and I gave lots of illustrations, and they laughed a lot, and we had a good time in the Lord. And at the end of the service, Sunday night, I gave an altar call for people to come and get saved. Said, if there's anyone here today who would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to have the guts, because I don't always do this in our church, but I've done it a lot of places when the Lord said to. I want you to have the guts to stand up out of your seat and come forward, and I want you to kneel down at this altar, and I want to pray with you that you could receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so I finished, and I prayed a prayer, and I said, come on up if you'd like to receive Christ. All these guys came up and knelt down at the altar and gave their heart to Jesus. You know who they were? They were the church board and elders of that church. And the pastor, who had been having lots of church problems because of these people, because they couldn't get it together on business because they didn't have the same heart. See, our church board can't do business unless we have the same heart. That's why we don't make decisions independent of one another, and we don't make decisions unless we have agreement. If anybody has a hesitancy, we wait until we hear the Spirit of the Lord on that situation. And you can't do that if you're not of the same spirit. And so they came down. The pastor is standing over in the front seat with his mouth on the floor, and he is like freaking out because the people... There were some other people, but the people who came to get saved were the people, were the leaders of his church. People he had given appointment to. People he had put in assignment to teach Sunday school and to do this youth ministries and this kind of thing. These were the people down here getting saved. So we prayed them through, you know, they got saved, and it was a great experience, and I was uplifted and encouraged, and I was on my way to speak at a youth camp, and so I was pumped now going into camp, and got a bunch of guys saved. I was almost a lot of men, you know, a lot of men that night, and I was very impressed with that. And well, I went out to eat with the pastor after church, and he was so angry. I said, "What are you angry about?" I said, "What are you upset about?" And he said, "I preach in this church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and I've said everything you said. Why did they get saved today?" I said, "Behold, this is the day of salvation. This was their day. But the seeds that you planted and watered over time brought forth fruit." And you know what? I believe there are people sitting in the pews of churches of America who have a love for a God but have never had a personal encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to tell you, there's some people here today that think they got it going on, but you need to have an encounter with Jesus. If Jesus has not changed the way you live, you've not encountered the God of the Bible. I'm going to say that one more time because I think it's really important that we hear it. If your encounter with God has not changed the way you live, then I believe you need to reconsider where you're standing with God today. Because I'm going to tell you, you won't be perfect when you come to Christ. I've been walking with Jesus since I was 6. Not quite as long as Dan, but I'm not quite as old. Right, Dan? Dan said he started preaching in what was 52. And I'm sitting here thinking, I wasn't even born yet. But anyway. But I've followed Jesus a long time, but I'm still dealing with areas of my life that Jesus needs to become the Lord of. He needs to get in control of my life in those areas. Still learning how to do that, how to lay it down before Him. So you're not going to be perfect, but I'm going to tell you, if you have an encounter with the living God of the universe through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, He will change the way you live. He'll change the way you think. He'll change the way you live. Say, "Well, I don't want to change." Well, okay. So I say it again. If you put the Word of God beside you like a plumb bulb, you know what that means? That's one of those old things they used to use in construction back in 52. Before I was born. To show something is straight. If you put the Word of God beside your life and something is not level, guess which one's wrong? You. Me. This is always right. And if it doesn't line up with the way you're living your life or thinking and your thinking processes, then what needs to change is your heart and your mind. Now, there's a lot of people who receive Jesus Christ into their heart but never really understand how to go further and deeper in their relationship with God, where they really encounter Him on a daily basis. There's many, many people sit in churches all over America, really all over the world, but particularly in our country, who go to church, they listen to a message, and they've done their deal, and they go home, and then that's it. Until the next time they come to the church, sit through a message, say that was good, go out the door, and never encounter Jesus daily. In my next series, I'm going to be doing a thing about daily devotions. And I'm going to be sharing with you sermons from my daily devotions that I've been going through in these last weeks. And I'm going to be sharing with you how to encounter and be devoted to the Savior and how to journal that and keep that for your benefit. And I think that God really wants to encounter each of us every day. I got a new T-shirt. And I'll wear it one of these days at church. It goes with this devotional thing I'm going to do. It says, "Hungry?" with a question mark. "Feed yourself." And Wayne Cadero put this T-shirt together because, you know, people would come to him. He's one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. And people would come to him and say, I'm going to your church, William, but I'm just not getting fed. He said, feed yourself. If you're waiting for what's happening in a Sunday morning service alone to feed you, you're going to starve to death. It's not because Sunday morning is not good enough, but that'd be like eating one meal a week. Can you imagine? Okay, well, it's Sunday. I'm going to eat a meal about 11 o'clock, 11:30. And I'll eat for as long as Pastor Ron preaches. So he preaches a long time, so I'm going to eat a meal for a long time. But I'm not going to eat anything else the entire week. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be fun. And yet we do that spiritually many times. We come and we get the one message. We say, Pastor Ron, you did a great job. Hallelujah. Or whoever's speaking that day. And then we walk out the door and never encounter the living God in His Word daily in our life. Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 said, but God remembered Noah. He remembered him. And all the wild animals and the livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. I love this word about remembering. God remembered Noah. This is more than a mental ascent. Oh, I put some guys in a boat. I forgot. How many of you know God doesn't need to be reminded? But when it says here that God remembered Noah, is much greater than our thought of, oh, I remember Steve. Yeah, I was supposed to call him or something. This idea of the word remember is a Hebrew word that has to do with conveying the very ideas and care and kindness that the God of the universe has for us. As he begins to convey, it says when he remembered him, it means he put his kindness towards him. This word is equivalent to a word that is our word for grace. In the Hebrew, it said chesed, which means loving kindness or grace or mercy. And so God really poured out his mercy on Noah. It says, when it says God remembered him, it doesn't just mean that he remembered him mentally. It meant that he poured out his kindness, his grace, his mercy towards this man who had given all of his life, most of it, to at least to build this big boat in a place where there was no water, when nobody listened, when nobody believed. He kept building the ark. He kept building it and living righteous, and he was named the only righteous man in the earth. And this man got in a boat with his kids and his animals that God told him to take, got in the boat, sat there for 7 days, waiting for it to start to rain, and it wasn't until 7 days after it started raining, and then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and they were in that boat for a very, very long time. Over a year. And God remembered him. It wasn't like, oh, I put Noah in a boat. He's saying, I send my kindness, my mercy, my grace towards you. I'm going to come to you right where you live, and I'm going to lay out my life into you. And I want you to know, those of you that I spoke to earlier about depression, I want you to know that God remembers you, and the deal is still on, and He has spoken His promises to you, but you've let Him get back here because you've gotten so distracted by this world. I want you to know that the deal that God has made with you is still on. He loves you, and His mercy, and His kindness, and His grace comes towards you. God has remembered you in your storm. And there's nothing, nothing too hard for our God. Now, most people don't like Genesis 8 quite as much as they like Romans 8. Genesis 8 is about people on a boat trying to get out. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the first point of your message is a new remembrance. God has remembered you. He has remembered you. He's remembered you when you thought you'd given up on yourself. He's remembered you. When you've been in the deepest dungeon of your life and felt like nobody knew where you were, I want you to know God knew where you were. And if you find yourself in the pit today, He'll come to your pit. He'll come right there and he'll release you. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Most people don't like to read about the mop up after the flood. I mean, it's not that exciting. Okay, building a boat's pretty exciting. All the rain and the gushing out of the water from the center of the earth and all that stuff's pretty exciting. You know, floating around with a bunch of stinky animals, pretty exciting. Water goes down. Who wants to mop up the water? I don't. Kind of like the wedding around here, huh, Sharon? I mean, man, they were everywhere. They had everything moved that could possibly moved in this building except for things that were tied down because they wanted to have their big day, which is cool. Well, you know, we have church on Sunday morning, so that all had to get put back where it goes. And nobody really likes that part. Everybody likes sitting, fixing the flowers. It's pretty. Putting the tablecloths on. Seeing how close you can get the tables together. All of that stuff. That's all real fun and cool. Getting prepared. I mean, it's work, but, you know, it's exciting. And then you come into the sanctuary, and it was so beautiful. Brittany was the most beautiful bride yesterday. She was the only one yesterday, but she was the most beautiful bride. She came down the aisle. Oh, she was beautiful. Jonathan's face lit up as he saw her walking down. She had 11 girls over here. 11. 11. I've never seen 11. It was 11 girls over here. And there were 11 guys over here. I mean, they were almost going outside. It was so long. And we did the ceremony. It was so pretty, the ceremony. We had a guy sing a neat song. In fact, they asked me to sing at their wedding, and I don't sing at weddings. Just let me go on record right now. On the CD, in person, I don't sing at weddings. Let's just all say that together. Pastor Ron doesn't sing at weddings. Go ahead. Excellent. You guys got it. Okay. Now, and so they said, we want you to sing this song at the wedding, I Wish You Jesus, which I've been singing for 29 years. You'd think I'd remember the words after that many years. Still have to look at the words. And then they tell me, after I say I'll do it for them, because I wasn't going to do it, but Brittany came and asked me personally, would you do it for me? I said, I'll do it for you. And so then they tell me the guy who's going to sing was on American Idol. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? I'm not singing after that guy. And then this girl got up and sang the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is a beautiful song. But you've got to be something to sing that song. I mean, that thing has got the range of the national anthem. I mean, it's like all over the place. And I'm standing over there by the communion table while she's singing, and I'm saying to Brittany and Jonathan, I'm not singing. Ricky sang, that girl sang, it's not happening. They said, yeah, you got to sing. And so I just sing after those people. It's like a pipsqueak after, you know, somebody like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. or somebody goes, the Lord says, and then there's me. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, are you kidding? It was a beautiful ceremony, and everything was great, and everything went good. And everybody left. And then I saw the people cleaning up. And they're going, what are we going to do with all this stuff? They have people with a shop vac outside trying to vacuum up rose petals. We have people trying to take tables apart and figure out where everything goes. That's not the fun part, is it? And after Noah did the whole ark thing, and it's time to get off, somebody's got to mop up the mess. The truth is most of us would really, really, really enjoy a message about Romans 8, but Genesis 8 isn't quite as much fun. But I want you to know that in this chapter, God creates a picture of a man in a storm. As we'll talk about next week, the Lord willing, that we'll talk about the promise that God gives. as he put the rainbow over Noah. There's three basic places where a rainbow shows up in the Bible. One was before a storm, one was after a war, and this one was and one was in the midst of the storm. But in Noah's day, he had to go through the storm to get to the promise. And I want you to know that sometimes when we go through storms, we would like to say, man, I don't like this. I want life to be always calm. But it's not how life works. And Noah went through a great storm. And they were in that boat for over a year. When Noah got off the boat, he made a sacrifice to God. That was such a sweet aroma to the Father's nostrils that God's blessing came flowing to him because God was pleased. Let me wrap this part up. Is God pleased with you? Is He pleased with your times with Him? Is He pleased with the times that you're reading the Word on your own? Is He pleased with the way that you're living? Is He pleased with the decisions you're making? Is He pleased with you when you worship in church? Are you really giving it all he deserves? Are you laying your life down? Jesus said, a man who lays his life down for his friends is the kind of friend you want to have. Do we lay down our pride, our self-intentions, to find the purposes of God for our life? Well, Noah laid it all down. He did something so completely out of whack that nobody could believe, but it was what God said for him to do. And God remembered him in his storm. And God remembers you today in your storm. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here this morning and you have never received Christ as your Savior, this could be your day to have a brand new beginning we call salvation. May I say again to you that if you have encountered God or you think you have and He's not changed the way you live, I would ask you to reconsider if you've made the commitment to Jesus that you need to. I'm not judging your heart. I don't know you. I don't know that part. I don't get to know that. But Jesus does. This could be your day of salvation. And then I want to speak to those I spoke to earlier that's been depressed and in the dumps, in the storm, strong and hard, and you know it, and you need victory. You need to know that God has remembered you, and the God of new beginnings is coming right now to meet you right where you live, to take you out of the pits and set your feet on a rock to stay. Jesus has that hope for you. And I'm going to pray for you in just a moment and ask you to respond. And lastly, I believe there's some folks here today who are living in deep condemnation. You feel really bad about yourself. You feel really bad about things that have happened. And I want you to know that if you come under the blood of Jesus Christ, He forgives you, He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and you don't have to walk with your head down. You can get your head right up because He loves you very much. And He'll free you today from that condemnation. Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the key is to just come into Christ. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It's about a relationship with the God of the universe through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you need to make one of those decisions, either a first-time salvation, recommitting your life, or you're one of those people who've been depressed and you need Jesus to set you free, or you've been feeling very condemned, very down on yourself, and you need freedom that Jesus can give as He removes condemnation from your life today. Right there where you're seated in the privacy of your seat, would you just lift your hand up and put it down again? Yeah, I see your hand and yours, sure, yours. Yeah, I see your hand too. Anyone else need any of those things? I'm not going to put you on the spot. Yeah, I see your hand. I'm just going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for those who are dealing with deep depression. Your Holy Spirit's been speaking of that to me since I've been in this sanctuary this morning as we began to sing. And Lord, I believe that you're sending your love and your grace to those situations right now and lifting them out of their despair and setting their feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I believe for miracles today in the areas of depression. I do, Lord. I believe you can do that. I believe that there's nothing too hard for you. And whatever this person or persons are facing that have been just down in the dumps, I ask you to lift their spirits up right now. Lift their hearts up before you. God, open their eyes to see you. Lord, when they feel like they're in the pit of despair, let them look up, for the redemption is right there. Let them reach out to you, Jesus. Like a little baby reaches up for their mom or their dad, I pray that they'll reach up to you in this next few moments of worship. And as they do, like a little child, you'll take them into your arms and give them hope and help in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that lifted their hand because of the powers of condemnation, that somehow they just don't measure up, that somehow somebody they feel has tacked a sign to their heart that says condemned or useless. And Father, we know that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross and to give them life forever. And that you said that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. That before the foundations of the world, you knew them. In their mother's womb, you formed them and created them. That you created them. You've made them the workmanship of God. The poema, the work of art. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that they'll begin to walk like the work of art that you've made them to be. That they'll shine the glory of the Lord through their lives. And when the enemy comes to condemn and to point the finger at them for things they've done wrong, Lord, I pray that they'll remind the enemy of his future and get their head up and walk free. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I pray for those, Lord, today who have never received Christ or have walked away from Him and need to come close to Him. We believe you, Lord, that you said that if we'll believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that you are Lord and that God raised you from the dead, we'll be saved. We'll be made a brand new creation. The old will be gone and the new will come. That everything that ever happened from this day back will not exist anymore, but we'll be a new person in Christ Jesus. And Father, I just pray that right now as you do that work in them, that it'll not only change their mind and their heart, but it'll change the way they live and the decisions they make so that they can become the child of God you've intended for them to be. In Jesus' name. Now listen, we're going to sing a couple songs here before we go. But if you responded to one of those things, if it was depression or condemnation, or maybe you're receiving Christ today, there'll be people available to pray for you over here. I'll be standing right over here. If you'd like to talk to me, you're free to do that as we worship. Just come, let us agree with you and stand with you. Even if the Lord's already begun that work, it's good to confess it and say it out loud to somebody you honor and trust so that they can pray for you both now and later so that you can be free indeed.